Good morning, BPN Radio. My name is Shay Schultz, and I'm a member of YPI, or Young Preachers International, which is a group that's led by Dale Gentry and the amazing people here at BPN. You know, I really believe that God is doing something incredible in the earth today, and that you and I are called to be part of it. My prayer for you is that in this time together, you take away a substantial deposit and let it change you or how you view your current situations in life. I pray that it sparks conversation in your own life that would set you on a journey to explore what God has placed in you since the beginning of time. Allow Him in these next few moments to replace religious mundane thoughts with new possibilities and creative God ideas to look at and handle everyday life. You and I are sons and daughters of a risen king that has never been defeated, and we have the capacity and are called to deliver heaven's authority and power on the earth. So let's take a deeper dive together and see what all God has in store. Well, today I'm so excited to be here on this podcast with you all because I just feel like God wants us to press in for a greater measure than what we've currently in just experiencing Him and taking a deeper dive, like I said, into what He has in store for us. And what that really means is, you know, I feel like sometimes we can get lost in the mechanics of Christianity when we lose sight of God and His purpose and His fatherly affection towards us. I think we become more religious, which is what He doesn't want. So let's just take a moment right now and pray for God just to open us up, to open our hearts, to let us engage with Him on another level today, that whatever mindset you woke up with today, that it just be shaken off. You know, whenever we rehearse the Word of God, that word rehearse comes from a root word, harrow, which was an old farming term to break up the land, to break up the ground, the hard clumps, the weeds that have grown up. You know, just over time, you kind of get complacent, and over time, clumps form in our minds, and we can get into a place where we're just hard-headed. And, you know, I feel like God really wants us to be free from that, and that requires us to memorize and to rehearse and to declare those words and His that He's already in His written word, the Bible verses over our lives, that will break up those hard clots, that will break up those things in our minds that would cause us to not live at the level that Jesus has called us to. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much that you are King, that you are Lord, and you are Father. You are expressed in the New Testament as Father. Jesus prayed, our Father. So Lord, we look to you today as Father God, who is affectionate and passionate about His sons and His daughters. You and I that are listening on the radio today. So Lord, I just pray that you begin to use me as a vocal piece, that you begin to anoint my words, to unlock something substantial in the lives of everyone listening today, and deepen me, God, deepen me to a greater place of intimacy with you and having communion with you now, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for revelation and knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1:17. God, I pray that the revelation of the Scriptures becomes alive and active in our lives. I pray that we might recognize the spiritual gifts in us and others, and we call out greatness to that in Jesus' name. Help us to see the world as you see it. We pray that we use those spiritual gifts in unity to build up your church and to become more unified in the same spirit of Jesus, as according to Ephesians 4:13. And God, most of all, we just pray for a growth in our intimacy in our relationship with you, and let it not outrun our pursuit of gifts, which we'll be talking about today, but let it grow alongside of our pursuit of the spiritual gifts, Lord, that we won't get lost in pursuing the amazing, astounding, entertaining side of having relationship with you, but we pursue you as the relationship. Thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the book of life. Not that we don't give thanks that we have joy and have authority and all these things and dominion over the satanic powers, but we give you thanks that our names are written in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, that we get to experience heaven with you here on earth and after we pass on from this earth. Thank you, Lord, so much. You are good and you are doing something powerful and wonderful in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my heart for this and my message this morning is pursuing the spiritual gifts. And I feel like it's one of those big questions that oftentimes goes unanswered in us as believers. And if you're a new believer, you know that you may have never even heard of the spiritual gifts before now. But I really think that this is a key thing that God is doing, that he's wanting to awaken in the church today. You know, a lot of what Jesus' ministry was about was he was so gifted in the areas of healing, in the areas of bringing about provision, bringing the dead to life. We read all the stories in the Bible, and he was always pointing to the Father. He was always trying to get everybody who is watching him do these amazing miracles to look to the Father, to look to the purpose of why he was doing everything on the earth. You know, he said that I don't do anything without first looking to the Father. You know, and that needs to be our mode as believers, is we need to look to the Father in every situation that comes our way. Not just taking the report as it comes to us, but really being the thermostat instead of the thermometer. Not just reading the atmosphere, not just merely observing what's going on and having opinions about it, but really choosing to engage, which requires sacrifice, requires us to die to ourselves, to let the kingdom of heaven be released through our lives. And it brings such a richness to our own lives that I feel like God is really wanting to establish in each of us. You know, I really love the church and I love the people in that. And we aren't by any means, especially me, I'm not perfect. You know, you aren't perfect. We all know this. We aren't perfect by any means, but the important thing is to allow God to continue to perfect us as we go along. You know, the more mature you are in your relationships, the more that the people around you begin to recognize that and they're become attracted to that. You know, lately we've been, me and my wife have been listening to Dr. Caroline Leaf, and she goes on and on about how the she's a neurologist, and how she her study of the brain has led discoveries and has proven fact that, you know, that their prayer affects us, that the Holy Spirit can use even our subconscious minds. And I encourage you to go check out her stuff. It's really interesting. But I really feel like as we become more mature believers, as we don't react to every situation or every bad thing that happens or every person that we don't like comes against us, and we get all, you know, huffy and angry, and our emotions well up inside of us, and we want to react. But, you know, Jesus has called us to something greater, and something we can actually live out is not reacting to situations, but responding to them correctly as Jesus would. Jesus never reacted to any of the accusations that would go on, that come against him, but he would always respond in a way. I feel like every time that happened, he looked to the Father and saw what the Father was doing, and then did what the Father was doing, and that's what caused him to live such a profound life. You know, I long to see people to come into the intimate relationship with God. I feel like when people notice the maturity and the gifts, and a lot of this centers around Ephesians 4:13 that talks about how using the gifts in maturity for the sake of unity in the body of Christ and encouraging and strengthening one another is so vital to the church today, because it unlocks something that we never thought could even happen in our own lives. You know, it takes us from a level of living that, you know, just doing the daily thing, living for the weekend, you know, having to get through the Mondays, and it changes that whole perspective to now you're living life fully alive. You're living life, the abundant life that Jesus has called us to. You know, the only debt that we owe is love to one another. Loving each other maturely in a correct, appropriate way produces something very healthy about our lives, very attractive about our lives. You know, people are really watching the way that you and I function. I'm talking to you believers, that the world is watching us, waiting to see how we respond to things, how we react to things, how we manage our lives, how we, in their eyes, you know, we're trying to uphold this moral standard, and we need to let them know it's more about a relationship than trying to uphold moral religious laws. But God, help us in this. Help us to communicate this more clearly. Help us to see ourselves more clearly. Help us to see our actions more clearly. And I pray that this takes you to a whole nother level of life and connection with God. I pray that this deepens you in your relationship as you go on this journey. There is greatness in you, I am calling out today. God has placed a little piece of his heart in each one of us, and he's wanting that to be expressed. And I feel like Jesus oftentimes used seeds as analogy in the kingdom of God, because I feel like that whenever we create the correct atmosphere about our lives, and using the spiritual gifts and using becoming more mature believers, you know, submitting ourselves to the unity of the church in Jesus Christ, I really feel like something amazing and supernatural will grow out of those things that he's called us to. And however we take care of those things that he's placed inside of us, however we go after it, you know, whenever I have a plant in my house that I decided I'm going to try to keep alive as best as I can, and I made the mistake of sticking it outside and forgetting to water it, and you know, that plant started to wither away, and fortunately I was able to bring it back inside and give it some water and trying to give it plant CPR, but I totally failed miserably at creating a healthy environment for it to grow. It was doing just fine in my house, but I decided that it needed sunlight, and I was trying to use my green thumb, which I apparently don't have, but I tried to put it in a place that I thought was right and ended up not being correct. So I brought it back inside, and now it's growing again. It's in an atmosphere where it thrives. And I believe that God really wants us to create an atmosphere in our own life that will cause us to thrive and cause the things he's placed in us to thrive. I feel like that's such a revelation for somebody. So what are the gifts? You know, what I feel like oftentimes we don't even recognize the gifting on our own life. And I've really challenged you to go and do some self-exploration in this, to go and find like a personality, a valid personality test, engage to kind of show you where your strengths and weaknesses are. I challenge you to really dig in and ultimately, the best resource of our lives is the Holy Spirit. So ask the Holy Spirit to show you the gifting that is on your life. And I pray that that becomes more clear and evident, because God wants you to walk in total clarity and total confidence in him. It says, come to the throne room with boldness. Not uncertainty, not insecurity. And we all have insecurities, and we all have those things that we have to wrestle through. But the point that I'm trying to make right now is that you are designed and you can walk life with confidence, and you can walk life with clarity and knowing who you are and knowing what your purpose is, and then ultimately knowing where God's wanting you to be him, be light in the world. A physical geographical location. But I just want to read some of the scripture, because I feel like whenever we get in talking to the spiritual gifts, a lot of us get kind of nervous because we're like, ooh, where does this line up with scripture? Is this right? Is this even able to happen? And I want to tell you, yes, it's totally biblical. It's totally possible. It happens today. It's been happening at my church. We've had crazy stories of people being healed. We've had crazy situations lately of some medical issues, but they have overcome those things, and God's miraculous hand has been in the middle of all of it, just amazing us on a daily basis. So I just want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12, and this is a heavy emphasis of what the gifts are. Paul's talking here, and it's the chapter right before love. And I feel like he leads up to this to show you that, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 is about the gifts, but the purpose of 1 Corinthians 12 is 1 Corinthians 13, love, creating an atmosphere of love in our world. And that's how our spiritual gifting thrives best. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12 says, "Now about the spiritual gifts, the spiritual endowments given by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." You know, God doesn't want you to be, side note, you know, God does not want you to be uninformed. He wants you to be close to Him. He wants to reveal His innermost, deepest plans with you. He wants to discuss them with you. It goes on to say, "You know that whenever you were pagans, you were led off after speechless idols. However you were led off, whether by impulse or habit. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God can say, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is my Lord,' except by the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. There are distinctive varieties of spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities given by the grace and extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit operating in believers, but it is the same Spirit who grants them and empowers them. And there are distinctive varieties of ministry and service, but it is the same Lord who is served. And there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the spiritual illumination and the enabling of the Holy Spirit for the common good. To one he's given through the Holy Spirit the power to speak the message of wisdom, and to another the power to express the word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith is given by the same Holy Spirit. And to another, the extraordinary gifts of healings by the one Spirit. And another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people. To another, discernment of spirits, the ability to distinguish godly doctrine from deceptive doctrine of man-made religions and cults. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. And to another, and the interpretations of tongues. All these things, the gifts, the achievements, the abilities, the empowering, are brought about by one and the same Holy Spirit, distributing to each individually as He chooses. For just as the body is one, yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form only one body, so it is with Christ." You know, Reinhard Bonnke said that gifts are not merits to be earned, they are tools. And I think that this is so huge in the church today that we live in, because so oftentimes, and it was big in the time that Jesus was in because He addressed this directly, but they were pursuing the miraculous. They were pursuing God, Jesus's healing here on earth. They were pursuing those things. They were pursuing the bread that He multiplied, but they weren't getting it because they were wanting Him to do more signs, but they weren't connecting with the Father's heart. And He was really wanting them to connect with the Father's heart in a personal way. And so many times we treat the giftings as merits in the church. You know, somebody's really gifted to sing or play guitar, you know, and I'm on the worship band myself, so I understand this, but just because you're gifted in something doesn't just necessarily make you more anointed. God wants to use you more than anybody else. He loves you and favors you more, but he really wants you to be released to all that God has called you to be. And that might not look like your typical worship or your typical churchy roles. You know, you don't have your bass guitarist, your drummer, your two electric guitars and some vocalists. You know, he might expound on that in your own life in a very personal way. And I believe that he will. Because I believe that he's a very creative God, and that, you know, he has no limits, he has no bounds as to what he can do. God can do it any way that he wants to, and he chooses to do it certain ways to communicate his love to us. And when we understand that we are designed uniquely, and we are wonderfully and fearfully made, that we begin to understand something a little bit more about ourselves that can only be unlocked through the Holy Spirit. So right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit begins to show you things in your life that you know you're good at. You know, God does not make junk. He makes you to be impactful and powerful in the world around us, and he wants to do that connected to you. You know, the gifts are relational tools, and I find them so often times to be tied to our personality. But there's a word of caution that's best summed up in Luke 10:19 that says, "Listen carefully, I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan. And nothing will in any way harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that your spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." And that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about not being boastful about your giftings. You know, your giftings were given to you. That's how a gift becomes a gift, is it has to be given with no strings attached. You know, the Holy Spirit decided to give you the gifts that you have currently in your life. You didn't choose your name. You didn't choose, you know, where you come from or the situation that you or your childhood, how you grew up in it. But the Holy Spirit placed gifts in you, so you don't have a choice as to what he put in you from the beginning of time or what your purpose is. But when we begin to live in that purpose, just like cogs in a clock or parts in a car, that whenever they're functioning as they designed, they produce life, they produce power, they produce distance in our lives. So how do I discover gifting and anointing that's on my life? You know, oftentimes my pastor says that passion is a clue to your call. What are you passionate about? What do you see that the rest of the world might not see, or maybe a few other people sees? You know, what do you have a heart for? What tugs at your heartstrings whenever you see some people at sex trafficking, and I know people that are going after that, and they have organizations against that, and, you know, that's really their passion, that's their calling in life, because they see a need, they see an injustice that is in the world, and they do something about it. They don't just say, oh, that's too bad, or they don't just stay angry, but they decided to organize a whole business together, or whatever, a nonprofit, or however you want to work that. But they organized something to actually end it. And they decided to cooperate with the calling on their life. And it's beginning to produce amazing things and freedom for people and all these different things. So what are you passionate about? What do you, if you don't like your job, what do you do at work? What do you research at work? On the side, what you're supposed to be working, what are you passionate about in that? Is it, you know, it could be music, it could be musical instruments, it could be cars, it could be airplanes, it could be building buildings, it could be real estate, it could be whatever whatever your industry is that you're passionate about. I encourage you to really push into that. Even if you feel like the finances can't, everybody's told you that you can't make money in that particular industry, you know, the gifting makes way for you. And that's what one thing I feel like somebody needs to hear today is to take a journey discovering what it is that God's placed in you. We all need to know, and God wants us to know, what He's placed in us, and to value that and to cultivate that into something wonderful. And the whole concept of the spiritual gifts, I feel like I could center point on this one phrase that I'm about to say, because I feel like this really drives home what I'm trying to communicate, the whole 30 minutes here, what I'm trying to communicate. But the spiritual gifts, the purpose of the spiritual gifts is that they are vehicles of God's love. They are vehicles of God's love. When we admire the gift, we ignore the precious cargo that is inside, the person of Jesus and His love being expressed through the spiritual gifts, through giving somebody a word of knowledge, through giving somebody a prophetic word, through giving somebody encouragement, or whatever that is for you, whatever that variant that the Holy Spirit has placed in you. When you begin to use that, it communicates love to the world around you in such an amazing, miraculous way that causes, you know, the lost people who want to be lost to turn around totally. It causes you to collide with new people in new ways, and setting you up with divine appointments and divine connections into people groups and into industries that you never thought you could have an influence into. So the purpose of the gifts is that they are the vehicle of God's love. And when we deviate from this, we tend to miss the mark. We tend to think like, oh, you know, whenever you're operating in gifting, whenever people are looking at you saying, that's awesome, thank you so much, and they're giving you all this praise and, you know, and all this. And it's not a bad thing to think of yourself less. The best definition of humility that I've heard is that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. And I feel like whenever we catch that revelation that God has placed something amazing in us that causes our lives to be amazing, and when we use that to communicate God's love to the world around us and activate that conversation, that intimacy with God in someone else's life, I feel like that's where the real treasure is. That's where life becomes rich in those moments. Are you hungry for this? In the world, when you get hungry, it means you don't eat. But in heaven, it's the opposite. It's upside down. The more you eat, the more you hunger. God wants us to walk in clarity and confidence of knowing who you are and what He's placed in you to operate in. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, whenever He broke bread and handed it out, it talked about how every man, woman, child ate until they were satisfied. I want to be so hungry when pursuing Jesus, because I feel like there's a greater measure to be gained. God responds to our hunger with supply. He's a good father. He doesn't give us, you know, bad things when we ask for certain things. When we ask Him for food, He gives us food. When we ask Him for shelter, He gives us shelter. You know, He takes care of us because He's such a loving father. You are born gifted. You are born to be amazing. God does not want you to pursue an amazing life for yourself. He wants you to pursue an amazing life for other people. What causes their life to be awesome? When you begin to see God, whenever you begin to see people as God sees people, it begins to change your whole paradigm. So I just pray right now that you begin to see the world around you as God sees you. I pray that you begin to see you as God sees you. Thank you so much for joining me on this broadcast this morning. I pray that your day is empowered as we continue to be inspired on a daily basis by an amazing God. Let me partner with you. I would love to pray and agree with you for amazing things to be unlocked in your life. Feel free to shoot me an email at shay_schultz@yahoo.com, or you can reach me on Facebook through my personal and business page, Shay Schultz-Realtor. Let's be all God has called us to, and stay tuned for some of the best preaching you've ever heard right here on BPN Radio on Preaching Sunday. Be blessed.